Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel, chapter 18. 2 Samuel, chapter 18. This is God's Word. David reviewed his troops and appointed commanders of thousands and of hundreds over them. He then sent out the troops, a third under Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai of Gath. The king said to the troops, "I must also march out with you." "You must not go," the people pleaded. "If we have to flee, they will not pay any attention to us. Even if half of us die, they will not pay any attention to us, because you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, it is better if you support us from the city." "I will do whatever you think is best," the king replied to them. So he stood beside the city gate while all the troops marched out by hundreds and thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Treat the young man Absalom gently for my sake." All the people heard the king's orders to all the commanders about Absalom. Then David's forces marched into the field to engage Israel in battle, which took place in the forest of Ephraim. Israel's army was defeated by David's soldiers, and the slaughter there was vast that day, 20,000 dead. The battle spread over the entire area, and that day the forest claimed more people than the sword. Absalom was riding on his mule when he happened to meet David's soldiers. When the mule went under the tangled branches of a large oak tree, Absalom's head was caught fast in the tree. The mule under him kept going, so he was suspended in midair. One of the men saw him and informed Joab. He said, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." "You just saw him?" Joab exclaimed. "Why didn't you strike him to the ground right there? I would have given you 10 pieces, silver pieces and a belt." The man replied to Joab, "Even if I had the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For we heard the king command you, Abishai and Ittai, protect the young man Absalom for me. If I had jeopardized my own life, and nothing is hidden from the king, you would have abandoned me." Joab said, "I'm not going to waste time with you." He then took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them into Absalom's chest. While Absalom was still alive in the oak tree, 10 young men who were Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Joab blew the ram's horn, and the troops broke off their pursuit of Israel because Joab restrained them. They took Absalom, threw him into a large pit in the forest, and raised up a huge mound of stones over him. And all Israel fled, each to his own tent. When he was alive, Absalom had taken a pillar and raised it up for himself in the king's valley, since he thought, "I have no son to preserve the memory of my name." So he named the pillar after himself. It is still called Absalom's monument today. Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, "Please let me run and tell the king the good news that the Lord has vindicated him by freeing him from his enemies." Joab replied to him, "You are not the man to take good news today. You may do it another day, but today you aren't taking good news because the king's son is dead." Joab then said to a Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." The Cushite bowed to Joab and took off running. However, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, persisted and said to Joab, "No matter what, please let me also run behind the Cushite." Joab replied, "My son, why do you want to run since you won't get a reward? No matter what, I want to run." "Then run," Joab said to him. So Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite. David was sitting between the city gates when the watchman went up to the roof of the city gate and over to the wall. The watchman looked out and saw a man running alone. He called out and told the king. The king said, "If he's alone, he bears good news." As the first runner came closer, the watchman saw another man running. He called out to the gatekeeper, "Look, another man is running alone." "This one is also bringing good news," said the king. The watchman said, "The way the first man runs looks to me like the way Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, runs." "This is a good man. He comes with good news," the king commented. Ahimaaz called out to the king, "All is well," and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. He continued, "Blessed be the Lord your God. He delivered up the men who rebelled against my lord the king." The king asked, "Is the young man Absalom all right?" Ahimaaz replied, "When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a big disturbance, but I don't know what it was." The king said, "Move aside and stand here." So he stood to one side. Just then the Cushite came and said, "May my lord the king hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by freeing you from all who rise against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom all right?" The Cushite replied, "I wish that the enemies of my lord the king, along with all who rise up against you with evil intent, would become like that young man." The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber above the city gate and wept. As he walked, he cried, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Absalom, my son." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is not a happy story. God rescued David from a murderous rebellion. Absalom wanted him dead. David wanted Absalom to live. Isn't it ironic that oftentimes those who love end up caring more about the life of another person than that person cares about their own life? We say, well, Absalom certainly wanted to live. Well, he did on one level, but on another level, he made decision after decision after decision after decision that took him to death. Everybody wants to live. Nobody wants to die, except for the way that people behave. Obviously, in our culture today, suicide is a serious problem. The rate of suicide, the number of people deliberately taking their own life, has gone up significantly. The percentage of people deliberately taking their own life has gone up significantly. The percentage of young people taking their life has gone up significantly. But the larger increase has been in people dying here in our country because of behavior that is deadly, even though they weren't specifically trying to take their life. But what they did resulted in their death, even though there are warnings everywhere all the time, and they just ignore it, because they care more about what they're after than they do about their own life. And it is left to the rest of us who care about them to grieve and mourn and warn and say, don't do that. You're headed for destruction. You're doing something that will destroy you. And many of you have people that you care about, and you want to see them live and live well. But this is not a new problem. This is an ancient problem. And it has to do with the human heart. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God said, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden except that one. If you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. So what did we do?
Say, Pastor, why do you say we? I wasn't even there in the garden.
Yes, you were. You were there in the DNA of our first parents. You are descended from them, and the same bent toward sin that was locked in that day is in all of us. And we do things that are self-destructive and hurtful toward others. And the only one who can deliver us from that bent is Jesus, who, when we are born again, gives us new life. Well, okay, I've been born again, and I'm still kind of bent toward doing the wrong thing. Yeah, that's your flesh nature, and you've got to consider it dead. You've got to put it to death, okay? Treat it like the living dead. It's kind of like the zombie, you know?
All right. I didn't know you liked zombie movies.
I don't like zombie movies. I have a zombie of my own I have to deal with. My flesh rises up and wants to go, sin is good. And I have to say, die, die. You and I are continually tempted. But when we've come to know Christ, we no longer have to give in to temptation. We don't have to lose that fight. But we do have to die to self. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out.
So, Absalom wanted to take the throne. Absalom wanted to govern. He wanted to rule. He wanted to be the king. He couldn't wait. He wanted it right now. And so now in the midst of his revolt, he leads a large army. David has a large army as well. But Absalom isn't saying to his people, be sure you don't hurt my dad. He needs for his dad to die. And his dad wants him to live. All the people, verse 5, all the people heard the king's orders to all the commanders about Absalom. They go out, they have this huge conflict that spreads out over a vast area. 20,000 die, and more of them die from the forest than die from military weapons. Some commentators have suggested that David's people had put booby traps and snares throughout the forest. I don't think so. The wording simply says that it was the forest itself. It was the nature of the terrain. If you're hurrying through a place you're not familiar with and it's real rugged country, you can go off a cliff, you can hit a tree, you can go into a ravine, and there's not a lot of help for you. This isn't the only time in history that the terrain or the weather took out more than the bullets. So, that day the forest claimed more people than the sword. And then we come to Absalom's death. In this translation, it says what it says in most translations, and that is that as Absalom was riding through this oak thicket with branches all intertwined, his head caught fast in the limbs of the tree. How did that happen? How do you get your head stuck in a bunch of tree limbs? Well, there's an obvious clue that is so obvious that a number of translations, about six English translations that I know of, translate it, his hair got caught in the branches. Well, why do you say that's a clue? Because if you look back earlier, there's this thing that he was really proud of. He had this phenomenal mane, okay? He only cut it once a year because he was so proud of his hair, and every time he would cut it, he'd have them weigh it. When was the last time you got your hair cut and said, wait a minute, get it all together and put it on the scale. I want to see how much it weighs. Have you ever done that? No, because you're not a crazy narcissist. But this guy was so proud of his hair that after it was cut off, he still felt attached to it. Okay? Look, how much? All right, 5 pounds again. That's just nuts. You know what else is nuts? It says, while he was still living, he built a monument to himself because he said he didn't have any sons to carry on his name. Now, earlier in this book, we read that he had 3 sons and a daughter. So again, some commentators suggest that, well, you know, his sons must have died young. Maybe. But you know what I think? I think he didn't even wait until his sons were born to build himself a monument. That fits with Absalom's life. This is a guy who couldn't even wait to see his future unfold. He had to ensure a place for himself in history. He is gearing everything in life toward exalting himself. And so there is a further irony in how he dies. He's riding along, and his head gets caught because of the hair, the thing he's so proud of. It gets caught in the branches of a tree, and his mule keeps going, and he's left hanging there. Now, for the life of me, I can't figure out why he didn't pull out a knife and cut his hair. Was he really that proud of his hair? I mean, I just don't get it. Did he hit his head on one of the branches? I don't know. But here's the thing. Look at Psalm 3. Don't lose your place here in 2 Samuel. But look at Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. The one who lifts up my head. What's he saying? David's saying, Lord, you're the one who lifts my head. You're the one who causes me to keep my chin up. You're the one who exalts me and protects me and makes it so that I don't have to sneak around. You are the lifter of my head. If you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 40, again, don't lose your place in 2 Samuel. Genesis chapter 40. Joseph is in prison. And there are a couple of guys who work for the Pharaoh, and they are troubled because they've had dreams and they don't know what they mean, but they can tell that these dreams have significance. Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Genesis 40, verse 9, so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is the interpretation," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will," watch the phrase, "Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, please remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. Three baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is its interpretation," Joseph replied. "The three baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh," watch the phrase, "Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat the flesh from your body." What's the key phrase there that matches in both stories? Lifting up the head. In one case, when God lifts up your head, God gives you a position of honor. That's a blessing. The other is when your head gets lifted up off you. The irony is that Absalom, who was pursuing his own glory throughout his life, ends up looking like a fool hanging from a tree by his glorious hair. And as he hangs there, he is just a perfect target for his enemies. He sought to lift up his own head, and he got his head caught in the branches. When God lifts your head up, as he did David, you are safe even in the midst of war. Now, let me give you a few scriptures. You can look these up on your own. Psalm 138:6, Proverbs 3:34, Proverbs 29:23, Matthew 23:12, Luke 1:52, and James 4:6. What do all those verses have to do with? The fact that God will humble those who try and exalt themselves. You try and put yourself out front and make yourself the star, God will humble you. Pride goes before a fall. The Lord will bring you down. But those verses don't stop there. It says if you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. If you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. If you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. Absalom got it all wrong. David humbled himself. And God repeatedly elevated David because he wasn't trying to make himself look good. Absalom is a warning to all of us when it comes to pride. Don't try to exalt yourself, or the thing that you are so proud of may be the very thing that is your undoing.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.